You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
12th verse, he says, concerning, well, let's back up, 11th verse. I'll read through these quickly and start commenting on the points I didn't get to. And I know you all believe that with all your heart. The 11th verse says, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while yet still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of those who believe. In other words, he's not the father of the circumcision. That's often the Jews are called the circumcision and Gentiles are called the uncircumcised. Well, he says that Abraham's not the father of the circumcision. He's the father of those that believe. That circumcision was a sign of the faith he had before he was circumcised, that he might be the father of those that believe. Do you believe? Yes. Hallelujah. He's our father. Yes. I claim Abraham as my father, in that sense. Of course, God's our father. We know that. He's talking figuratively here in a picture. There's a teaching here that we can see in Abraham, a man of faith. We are connected to him. He's the father of all those that have faith. And we're in that big family. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, we're going to heaven because of promise that God made Abraham to Abraham. We're not going to heaven because of 10 commandments that God gave to Moses. Righteousness does not come by law, it comes by promise. It does not come by works, it comes by faith. Yes. And so the covenant that we have is a fulfillment of the promise that God made Abraham. It's not the completion or fulfillment of the law that God made Moses. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. Hallelujah. So it says here that he is the father of those, that he might be the father of those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Hallelujah, somebody. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while yet still uncircumcised. And you know, I brought out last week, water baptism is that way. Water baptism is a sign of our faith. Water doesn't save us, nor does it wash our sins away. It is a sign of the faith we have while yet being unbaptized, to use King James terminology. It is a public witness or sign of the faith we had before we went under the water. If you did not have faith when you went under the water, you're just going to get wet. Amen? But it is a sign or an outward sign of the faith we had while yet being unbaptized. So that's the way circumcision was. But he is the father of those who walk in the steps of the same faith he walked in. Everybody say, walk in the steps.
Walk in the steps.
I love that. Walk in the steps of faith. Everybody say, of faith.
Of faith.
Okay. These are the steps of faith that I can see here that he lays out before us in this same chapter. And this is what we started out with. 17th verse. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. I love that. You know, he changed his name about a year before he had Isaac. We often hear about Abraham believing for 25 years, but really he didn't believe for 25 years. I don't know if you read about it, but there was this guy called Ishmael that was born through Abraham's union with Hagar. That wasn't exactly what I'd call faith. That actually was a lapse of faith on his part, and he paid for it. In fact, God didn't speak to him for 13 years after that happened. And it says it tells us that Abraham was Abram. Was 86 years old when he begat Ishmael. And the next verse, which is the first verse of the next chapter, it says, Abraham was 99 years old and God appeared to him. I just always thought that was significant, that, you know, that it was a costly thing, that he quit believing God and got in the flesh. And Ishmael was a work of the flesh. It'd be like trying to work your way to heaven. It's an illegitimate salvation. It's illegitimate righteousness. If you're going to heaven because of your goodness, or you think you're going because of your goodness, that's not legal. That's not legitimate. That's an illegitimate birth. That's an illegitimate righteousness. The only legitimate righteousness comes through a promise. It comes through faith. It doesn't come through works. Well, surely it'll take me to heaven. I'm a good guy. Hello? Well, no, that's illegitimate righteousness. That's flesh righteousness. That's Ishmael righteousness. Isaac righteousness is righteousness that comes through a promise, comes through faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so 17th verse says, it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God actually changed Abraham's name when he was 99 years old. He began to see himself quite differently. And obviously, when you see yourself the way God sees you, miracles begin to happen quicker. Your prayers begin to come to pass, and things begin to flow a little better. You see, you don't see yourself right. The church, for the most part, is having an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. When we find out who we are, we won't have any trouble believing God. When we find out what has happened to us, what God has really done to us, when we start calling ourselves what God calls us and seeing ourselves the way God sees us, then we're going to see some results in prayer. We're going to see some results with the anointing and results with the flow of the power of God in our lives. But until you see yourself the way God sees you, now stay with me. It's one thing to see Jesus in the Bible. It's one thing to walk through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see Him arise out of the pages of the Scriptures. It's another thing to see you come up out of those pages, to see you, new creature in Christ Jesus, old things passed away and all things become new. It's another thing to see you passing from darkness unto light. Hallelujah. It's another thing to see yourself coming out from under the power of Satan and being placed over under the authority of heaven. Hallelujah. So you need to see yourself differently. And Abraham needed that. And God came and He finally said, you know what? I'm going to have to change that boy's name. He's not getting this. He doesn't seem to understand the concept. So here's what we're going to do. I can see God in the war room, you know, trying to figure all this out. Man, I've been working with this guy and he still doesn't get it. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to change his name. That way every time he gives his name out, he'll be reinforcing what I've been promising him. He's going to identify with what I've said I will do. I'll make him see himself differently. I'll make him say different things about himself. That's really important. That's very important. Because from that day forward, Abram became Abraham. Father of many nations. He's 99 years old, and every time he introduces himself, hello, I'm father of many nations. He's confessing that over himself. He's building his faith in that respect. He's identifying with the promise. He's connecting with what God says. You know, people have a lot of things to say about you, but what really matters is what God says. And ultimately, what you say. If you agree with God, then you're going to connect with Him and flow with Him, see? But I think most of the time we don't agree with God. We get in a mess and we think we can't get out of it, and we'll say we can't get out of it. We'll get in a mess and we think we're never going to make it, and we say we're not going to make it. Hello? And all this time God's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hello? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. At some point, you've got to identify yourself with who God says you are. Not a loser, you're a winner. You know that story about that guy? You know, was that ball game? Not a basketball game. I don't want to talk about the Mavericks today. But anyway, he's at a ball game, and he's up at the top of the... There's a guy at the top was hollering out and says, hey, Fred! No offense, Fred. Hey, Fred. And a guy way down at the bottom stood up, mad, looked up top, sat back down. Then the guy at the top hollered again, hey, Fred. Same scenario. The guy jumps up again, you know, down, looks up. That happened about three times. And finally, the guy at the bottom of the stands jumps up when the guy hollers and turns around and says, my name's not Fred. Well, now, here's the deal. If your name's not Fred... Why are you responding to that? I mean, if the devil says you're a loser and you're not a loser, you're a winner. Why are you acting like you're a loser? Why are you responding to that? You're never going to make it. Oh, just sit down and watch the game, okay? You're a winner. You're not a loser. Get it? Find out who you are. Don't have an identity crisis here. A bunch of people walk around schizophrenic. Split personalities, don't know who they are, you know. Devil says you're not going to make it, and you believe it. You buy the lie. And you stand up. You get all upset about it. Listen, you're not a loser. You're a winner. Amen. You're a winner. You're not going to go under. You're going to make it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, no. He never lets go.
Amen.
He never lets go. We win this deal. So God, you know, God had to deal with His identity. He had to deal with who He was. He had to get to the core of His being, because this affects everything in your walk in life, your marriage, your Christian walk. It'll affect you as a father, as a husband, as a wife, a mother, whatever the case may be. It's going to affect you. If you do not see yourself the way God sees you, you're not going to get down the road like you need to get down the road. You'll get down the road, but you'll be on the wrong road. You won't get down God's road. You don't want to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you. So God changed his name. And it says, and see, I told you I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on the first few points here. And I haven't even got to the first point yet, but anyway. You know, I'm going to South Africa right after this service. Yeah. Yes, I am. Okay. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. In the presence of him whom he believed. That is the first point. You must believe God. You've got to make a choice. I'm going to believe God. That's a general thing. That's not real specific. It doesn't deal with a lot of details. You ain't even got to the promise yet. You don't even know what the word says yet. But whatever happens here, we're going to believe God. Okay. Well, I don't know what the word says. Well, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to find it. I'll find out what the word says. But one thing for sure, I am going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. That's number one. If you're going to walk in the steps that Abraham walked in, you're going to make a decision. Number one, I am going to believe God. Don't know everything's going to happen. Come on, we're not psychic. You don't know everything's going to happen. But one thing you can know you can trust God. You can trust him. And then it goes on and says this. It says, for him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead. Wow. Calls those things that be not as though they were. Wow. I want to preach on that. But I'm not. 18th verse. Who, against hope or contrary to hope, in hope believed. Oh man, keep hope alive. Yes. Keep hope alive. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall thy descendants be. You know, when you take this apart, it's real simple. You gotta keep hope alive, obviously. Number one, you got to believe God. Number two, you got to, against hope, believe in hope. Yes. On what basis? According to what's written.
Yes.
Where's my hope come from? Didn't come from what's happening. It comes from God's word.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so against hope, I believe in hope. All hope in the natural is gone, but against hope, I believe in hope. I hope in the word.
Amen.
My hope, my trust, my faith is in God's word. And that's the second step when you think about it. You first say you're going to believe God. Secondly, you got to find out what he says. Isn't that true? And keep your hope in it. Now, if you find what God says and you've got a promise or a scripture or something that says that God will do this for you in your situation, and there's many situations in life we face, but I believe God addresses them. Once you find what is written in there, you must believe in those things or put hope in what God says in order for you to become what is written about you. See, God says a lot of things about a lot of people, but nobody becomes those things because they don't believe. It's only as you hope against hope that you become what is written about you. God says some things about Tommy, about me, about Melissa, about all of us. But only as we believe those things do we become those things.
Amen.
Now we're not believing God in general. Now we're believing God specifically on what he says. If you want to be saved, you find out what God says about salvation. And you take it personally, and you become what God says about you as you believe what God says. Wow. What do you want to become? That's a good question. What are you going to become? I can tell you what you're going to become. You're going to become what you believe. Be that good or bad, right or wrong, you're going to become what you believe. So why not get the truth and believe that and become what God says? So, you want to, in hope, you want to keep hope alive, hope in God's word. Trust God, then obviously put your hope in God. And then the 19th verse says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Now here's kind of a negative thing. You have to discount and not consider the negatives. Don't develop your negatives. Hello. There's always negatives. Just don't develop them. You develop them by nurturing them, by talking about them, by looking at them. No. It says he did not consider his own body now dead. The natural wasn't going to happen. So these are steps that Abraham took. He decided to believe God. He decided to put his hope in what God says. He decided not to consider the opposition, the negative, the circumstances. Anybody got circumstances that are opposite of God's word?
Yes.
Don't consider them. Don't consider them. Yeah, but. No, don't but.
That's right.
Goats, but. Sheep, go yes, amen. Okay? We're sheep. We're just amen. Now the goats are over going, but. Now let's separate the goats from the sheep here for a moment here, okay? When I heard something today, we're supposed to feed sheep and barbecue goats. But that's nothing, okay. But maybe there's some circumstances that are not lined up with God's word in your life. Maybe you're facing a crisis that doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. Hey, don't consider the negatives.
Right.
Don't do that. Right. See, that's a third step. Being not weak in faith. Weak faith considers everything going on. Strong faith doesn't pay attention to it.
That's right.
Weak faith considers the feelings of the body. Strong faith doesn't pay attention to it. Oh, it feels it. It's there. We don't deny that. But we don't consider it.
That's right.
We put our faith in God's word. Amen. Or keep hope alive. Hallelujah. So it says this, 19th verse, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, 99. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 90. He did not waver at the promise of God. That'd be a fourth step. Don't stagger at the promise. Don't read, everybody ought to read the Bible, but don't read it like this. No way. You have got to be kidding me. That never happened in my life. Hello? That's staggering. Man, I don't see how that... Are you kidding me? Hello? Don't stagger at the... Sometimes the promises can be staggering.
Yes.
In fact, many times when I'm looking at one little scripture here, and I got this huge problem, that one little scripture doesn't look too big. This problem looks huge. It's like on the huge side of big. And there's one little kernel of corn over here waiting to be planted in my life. One little mustard seed over here that says, you can do this. You can get through this. Hello. And what I need to do is look that promise straight in the eye and not stagger or back up. That word stagger just means doubt. In fact, same word translated doubt in Mark 11, 23, where it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Jesus said that.
Amen.
That word doubt, that's the same Greek word here where it says stagger or waver, like the waves of the sea, James 1, 5, where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That word wavering in the Greek, same word. So you can imagine just kind of staggering at something or wavering or vacillating or doubting. No. Let's get focused here. Faith is focus. It really is. It's just getting your face set. It's getting determined. It's staying on the road. It's not looking to the left nor the right. Not considering the body, the weak body, the circumstances, the negatives. It's not staggering. It's keeping a steady step, walking by faith, hallelujah, and not by sight.
Yes.
So you don't want to stagger or doubt the word. He did not doubt or stagger or waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Number 4, which was don't doubt, no doubting, but was strengthened in, I love this, the King James says, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. New King James says, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That'd be the fifth step. This is a good one. I don't know if you're ready for this one?
Yes.
Okay. If you want your faith to be strengthened, then you need to start giving God glory and start worshiping Him for the answer.
Right.
Once you decide you're going to believe God, once you put your hope in His written word,
yes.
Once you decide not to consider the circumstances or the negatives of life, And once you decide you're not going to stagger, but you're going to stay focused on this thing, then lift your hands and begin to worship Him, and it will strengthen your faith. Praise Him. In fact, I always said it this, I heard it this way years ago, and it's not that I plagiarize, I just don't remember where I hear things. The highest type of faith is praise. There's no question about that. If you really believe, you will thank God. You will praise Him. If you don't believe, you won't thank Him. But if you know He's going to do it, you'll say thank you, just like you do to people when they say they're going to help you or do something. Even before they do it, you trust them, you know them, you say thank you. That's a sign of your faith. That's a consummation of your faith. You really believe now because you're thanking. Now, not East Texas thanking. You are praising and thanking God. And you know what that does? Strengthens your faith. You start talking negatively after you believed God and trusted God, it'll weaken your faith. You start talking positively in worship and praise. Oh, God, I thank you, God, you got this thing in hand. Thank you for the promise. Hallelujah. I believe it's coming in Jesus' name. Your faith is strengthened now. You're strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. We're not praising Him enough. We're not worshiping Him enough. Abraham did that, number five. And number six, the last one, told you, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. And being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. You and I need to get fully convinced that God's Word is true and He'll do what He says. Now, I believe these are progressive, personally. I don't think you can jump these steps. I don't think you're going to be fully convinced until you first decide to believe God. I don't think you're going to be fully convinced until you first put your hope in a promise, find out what He says. I don't believe you're going to be fully convinced until you get to where you're not swayed or affected by the circumstances or the negatives. Hello? You're not going to be fully convinced until you stop wavering back and forth with your confession. And you're not going to be fully convinced if you don't start praising God for the answer. But if you decide to believe God, and you decide to put your hope in His promise, and you decide not to pay attention to the circumstances that are negative, and you decide not to stagger at God's promise, and you decide that you're going to praise Him, you're going to get fully convinced. You'll be fully convinced that what He's promised, He's able also to perform. Amen. Now, Abraham's our daddy, like father, like son. We all walk in the steps of the faith of our father, Abraham, and those are some of the steps that he took. Let's do the same thing, amen? And let God move in our lives. Hallelujah.